welcome to the Diet Detox Podcast. I'm your host, Margaret Berry, a functional nutritional therapy practitioner, master TTAP trainer, and mother of two. I'm joined by my co-host, Victoria Wilkes, a fellow intuitive eater, passionate TTAPper, and mother of two. Each week, we want to empower you with new information about the way our bodies and minds work together to bring us into balance when we are well-nourished and well-fed. Victoria and I are not only good friends, but we are also lucky enough to be sisters-in-law. So join us as we discuss topics such as body image, intuitive eating, women's health, pregnancy and postpartum nutrition, the science behind nutrition and exercise, and so much more. Remember our disclaimer, the materials and content within this podcast are intended as general information only and are not to be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Now let's get to the show. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Diet Detox Podcast. I'm your host, Margaret Berry, here with my sister-in-law, Victoria Wilkes. Hey.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. It was a doozy of a day, but involving lots of poop with my little one, and you know, he pooped in the kiddie pool and fits and lots of cleaning things up. And it was just one of those difficult days where you couldn't really have prevented it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just kind of difficult.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's
just being so I've been looking forward to recording all day. I was like, I can sit down with my knitting, I can talk about stuff with my friend, it'll be great.
You can talk about grown-up subjects and not have to deal with poop and stuff. That's like at the height of all of this lockdown stuff, it was really difficult because at the end of the day, I, you know, when my husband came home, I would just talk because I had literally been with my two kids. Yeah. And I didn't have any adult, like actually talking to another adult. So I just kind of dumped it on. So that's nice because on the podcast, we get to, you know, maybe think about it through the day, like what we're going to talk about. And then we get to just dive into it, you know,
exactly.
At the end of the day.
I know. How about you? Yeah. How was your day?
It was pretty good. Yeah. It was sort of a normal-ish day. I did a lot of laundry today. I cleaned out my laundry drum, which is so exciting. I know. But I was just, it was one of those housekeeper moments, or, you know, homemaker housekeeper moments where you're like, oh, that's why my clothes smell bad, is because yeah. I need to sanitize this stupid washing machine. But it made me feel, you know, confidently. Okay. I got this.
I did so much laundry yesterday. I don't even know how much. Yeah. I know mm-hmm. what you mean.
Yeah. We did a lot. So, but I multitasked and I listened to other podcasts while I was folding laundry. So yeah, mm-hmm. podcast and laundry work. So let's do our normal segment where we talk about what we've been eating recently. That's been good. So how about you? What have you been enjoying recently?
So actually inspired by one of our previous episodes where you talked about frozen cherries and chocolate.
Oh.
I'd never tried that before. So I tried it the other day and I got hooked, and it's like, I've been doing it every day where I melt some semi-sweet chocolate chips mm-hmm. and spoon some of the melted chocolate on top of frozen cherries. And oh my goodness, it's so good.
That sounds amazing. And I know it is.
Yes. I had never thought to do that. And yeah, hearing you describe it, I was like, I'm going to try that. And it is
nice.
Delicious.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love cherries. Cherries and chocolate. Mm.
Oh,
yeah. Yes. So I've had this recipe and I took a screenshot of it, and I take a million screenshots, guys. Like I'm an information junkie. Like I will, if I see something cool online or on someone's post or whatever that is neat that I want to save that little spot, I will screenshot it. And so I'd screenshotted this recipe, like, or the name of the girl who made this recipe. And right. I literally went back through my screenshots, like 100, you know, 100 into my like 1800 screenshots. And I still couldn't find it. And I kept looking. And then I finally remembered, oh, it was called Rachel's Good Eats. So these are homemade. I sent you the recipe for this yesterday.
Yeah,
homemade,
yeah.
Grain-free, and no refined sugar Twix bars.
Yeah.
They are so good. They have the shortbread layer. Basically, you make a shortbread from almond and coconut. And then you have a layer that is like a caramel that you use almond butter as the base of it.
Ooh.
It's really good. You make this caramel, and I was thinking of other things that I could use the caramel for when I was done
Ooh, yeah.
doing that with it.
And then you put dark chocolate. I put 90% chocolate on the top, and it is just spot on. It's just the right amount of sweetness, and then the chocolate on the top is 90%. So you have that really nice bitter chocolate on the top. It's just really good. We'll have to link that in the notes because it's a great recipe. I'm probably going to post it to Instagram. Depending on when this airs, people will have already seen it on my on my Instagram. Nice. But they are worth trying for sure. They were quite delicious. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. Yeah, I will definitely link to that.
Okay, so let's go ahead and get into today's episode. And the unofficial title of this is going to be Fear Foods. And what does that even mean? Like, what is a fear food? Well, I think that if our listeners would think in their mind, they would think about, are there any foods that you are afraid of that you go, I wouldn't eat that, or I'm scared of this food because I ate it this one time and it made me feel X, you know, it made me feel sick, yeah. It made me feel nauseous, whatever. Fear foods, because there are, you know, people who have foods, and I know I used to be, I've worked really hard to help me myself not be so type A and oh my goodness, I can't have this or that. So but we wanted to do an episode on fear foods because it's really something, if you have a food that you're afraid of, you can, you know, we're going to help you kind of share some ways that you can help yourself not be afraid of it. And it's funny because this is something that unless you have this, or unless you have food that you are just scared of, this won't make any sense to you.
Right.
Which is fine.
Like, what the heck is a fear food?
Yeah. Go ahead and listen. And then you can help someone else who, you know, who is terrified of, you know, someone hands them a jelly bean or something. I don't know. Like pick your thing that's just scary. You've been told that this food is whatever, and it's going to kill you if you eat one bite, or, you know, all these stories we make up in our brain about food that probably is not accurate. So, So did you want to share a little bit about your experience? Because Victoria's had a very interesting experience with having foods that she used to be afraid of that would cause her like gastrointestinal issues. And now she's actually been moving towards where it's not. So yeah, I'd love if you could share a little bit about that.
Yeah. So my first fear food was honestly not about getting sick so much as it was about gaining weight. I was really obsessed with and concerned with sugar all growing up. Because it's like, oh, sugar's going to make you fat. Sugar's going to make you fat. You know, sugar's so unhealthy. Oh, it causes cancer and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So I was always very obsessive about my portions with sugar. And of course that made me want it all the time. So I would still eat it like every day, and I would think about it every day, and I couldn't wait to eat my sugar, but then I felt guilty when I ate my sugar. It's just ridiculous. So, I'm sure some of you listeners understand that. So that was my original food that, like, if I ate what I thought of like too much of it, you know, say three cookies instead, you know, three Oreos instead of two Oreos, I would just feel like this panic and like my throat closing up and like, what have I done? What have I done? And oh, I'm going to gain weight and all this stuff. And then whenever I, it's very interesting. I don't know how much of this was stress and how much of it was actually the food that I was eating, but at a really high stress time in my life, I was told to get off of gluten. And so I did, and I started feeling somewhat better, but then I started reacting to all sorts of things. I started reacting to rice. I started reacting to oats and quinoa and aged cheese, which I could have before, sour cream, which I could have had before. I started reacting to eggs and cassava flour and coconut milk. And I mean, I started reacting to all these weird things, and to where I got to a point, maybe almost 5 years ago, to where I was almost scared to eat anything because I kept feeling like, oh my gosh, that's going to make me sick. Or it's going to make me fat, you know, just all this fear around food. And it felt like my list kept shrinking of what I could eat. And then sometimes I would get sick, you know, whenever I say sick, usually my stomach would hurt. I would feel nauseous. maybe have to go to the bathroom, not like violently sick, but just enough to make me kind of miserable. And I kept thinking, oh, it was that sour cream I ate. Oh, it must have been the egg that I ate. Oh, and then at one point I thought I was allergic to certain types of cocoa powder because random cookies would make me sick that had chocolate in them. And then, so I thought, well, I can only eat this kind of cocoa powder. And then, you know, it kind of got more and more extreme of the things that I thought were making me sick. And then I got pregnant with my daughter. And as I said in a couple episodes before, I had preterm labor, which could have been caused by not eating enough. And then I had low milk supply, which was definitely caused by not eating enough. And then, so I started kind of discovering, oh, I need to be eating more after my daughter was born, and, you know, maybe 4 months postpartum. And the more that I ate and the more that I started realizing that I had problems with food, the more that I started admitting that I had problems with food, because I thought before that I had no problems and I was just being healthy and normal. Right.
Right.
I'm just taking care of myself by limiting my food. So the more that I started eating more, the more I started realizing and healing my relationship with food and my body and not having such an antagonistic relationship with food and all that, I started being able to tolerate all those things that used to make me really sick. But it's scary to try them because, you know, if you were sick, I remember one time I was sick for, you know, a lot, you know, I'd be sick for a few hours after eating something. You're like, oh, I don't want to try that food again ever. You know, I don't want to get sick again. And I started watching, Kayla Rose, I think is her YouTube channel name now, Damn the Diets. And I was just watching her out of interest. And I didn't really think that that much of it applied to me, but she had a video on fear foods, which I will link to. And she was talking about how a lot of people recovering from eating disorders have extreme fear, usually because of weight gain, but also because of health reasons. Of, oh, this food makes me sick. Oh, I can't eat gluten. I can't eat dairy. I can't eat eggs. I can't eat cheese, whatever. And she said, usually once they are recovering and they try those foods again, they're fine. So I watched that video and I thought at that time that this was 2 years ago, I thought that I was really sensitive to eggs. Every time I ate eggs, I would get extremely nauseous. I thought I cannot eat eggs. I hadn't eaten eggs in a year or two. I don't even remember how long I'd gone without it. And Kayla said specifically, and it sounds a little woo-woo, but she said specifically, she's like, as you're eating it, do not let yourself experience the physical feelings of fear. She said, you need to tell yourself as you're eating it, this is good for me. This will make me feel good. I will not be sick eating this, blah, blah, blah. Kind of almost like, I don't know, a little motivational sayings or something.
Yeah, like self-motivational.
Kind of like that. But basically telling yourself, this is going to make me feel good. This is nourishing for my body. I will not be sick eating this. So I tried it and I had zero reaction whatsoever.
Which is amazing. Yeah.
It's amazing. Yes. Something that would make me extremely sick. And then I had no problems. And then ever since then, I've eaten eggs pretty much every day with no problems whatsoever.
See, and that's just so cool because it's literally your brain can become wired to be afraid. Just like think about it. You're out in the woods and you hear a twig snap and you look, turn around, and that one bear you saw that one time back in 1996, you're still scared of it. And you're like, your heart starts going and you're like, oh gosh, is it a bear? And it's a similar, I guess whatever those are called, adrenaline that happens when you're faced with that food that either made you, which I think there's two categories. There's the, like, this is a food that previously maybe had made you nauseous before and actually feel physically bad, or also it's a food that you're just scared of. Like, I am scared of, like, if my grandma handed me a cookie with gluten in it or sugar in it or both, I am going to feel like I'm going to pass out, or I'd say no. And then I'm like, oh, you know, so.
Yes. And it's worth noting since then, I mean, it's a joke that I missed half of Margaret's bridal shower because I had eaten something with oats and then I got so sick. And I've eaten oatmeal, like bowls of oatmeal, no problem now.
Which is
And
just so cool. Like,
yes.
how many people, and not to say that everyone's food intolerances are not legitimate, but how many people do have something that they, at one time it made them sick and they have developed a pathology to it? How many people actually are okay with the food, but they have had this mindset in their brain that it is not good for them to have?
Right.
So.
Exactly. And I've wondered too, how many times that I got quote unquote sick off of a food, how many times was it just that it didn't agree with my stomach or something? Because somebody like my husband, who has no sensitivities, no allergies, sometimes he'll get random stomach aches. And it's like there's no rhyme or reason to it. And then he's better and he's fine and he's not allergic to any foods. It's like sometimes you just get a stomach ache. And I think that if you're in the kind of health and fitness world or you have a disordered relationship with food, you're always going to go straight to the food. If you feel tired, you're going to go, what did I eat that made me feel like this? If you feel like if you've gained weight, oh, it was the food. If you have a stomach ache, oh, it was the food, where it might not be at all.
It could be just something completely different, and you just, the food was something that is easy to track because you're thinking about it all the time. It's the one thing that you probably know what you ate last night, and you probably know what you're gonna eat tomorrow. If you're one of those people, it's that's telling too. If you always come back to the food, or it's the food's fault, so. Yeah, because that's just so interesting with the way your brain can respond. Because of course we know that stress and cortisol, cortisol is released when we are stressed out or stressing about something, and that's really not good for the whole body. We were talking about this the other day. The stress of trying to avoid things sometimes is not worth the, for example, let's say you're at a Christmas party and little old grandma hands you a cookie that maybe it doesn't have, maybe you're not deathly allergic to anything in there, and you really don't notice a difference when you eat something in there, but out of principle, you deny. And I don't know, not you can, it's your choice to eat whatever you like to eat, but it's just one of those things that I think can take over your brain space, and it can really make your life sad. So, to
And it
put
can
it bluntly.
actually, yes. And you can actually physically react. You can have the reactions that you're scared of because you think about it so much. And I know, and not everything's like that. There are people with true celiac or true nut allergies or shellfish allergies or lactose intolerance or whatever. But I'm just finding so many, even gluten that I have thought for 5 years that I am deathly allergic to gluten. And I tried some bread that Margaret made, some sourdough, and I was completely fine. I was completely fine. So obviously, and I haven't tried it since then, but obviously I am not deathly allergic to gluten, but I thought that I was.
You
And
thought you
so,
were. Yeah.
yes, and I have heard some very interesting statistics. I don't remember the percentage of people that in like a double blind study, they gave people either gluten or gluten-free products, and they didn't tell them if they were eating gluten or not. And the people who thought that they were eating gluten in the study were afraid that they were going to have a reaction, and they ended up physically having that reaction. Even though they didn't eat any gluten, they were eating gluten-free items. They were convinced it was gluten. They were afraid they were going to get a stomach ache. They got the stomach ache and the gastric distress or whatever they were afraid of. Their bodies literally created what they were afraid of, because as you see a plate of pasta or whatever coming towards you and you think, that's going to make me sick. I'm going to be sick. I'm going to be sick. I'm going to be sick. Your body goes, well, okay, I guess we're going to be sick.
Yes. And I think that people underestimate the power of your brain and the connection to your body in many ways, but in this way in particular, people don't really pay attention to that fact that, your brain really controls a lot of that. By the vagus nerve, by the way, it controls a lot of our digestion processes and everything. And I've noticed too that, like you said, with the gastro distress, I think a lot of a lot of people who tend to be really picky about their food, and I mean picky in the good way, like they eat the best stuff. I will say sometimes in my own working with people, I've noticed that the ones that are extremely type A about their food, they're the ones that have the digestive problems.
Right.
And part of me wonders, is it due to the stress of every meal is, oh my goodness, I accidentally put this butter on this and I wasn't supposed to do that. Or I forgot about that I ate that earlier and I just ate this. And now, you know, doing all this mental math and gymnastics in your brain. So.
Yes. It is. It's very interesting because I think that sometimes, and this is how I felt, and I think sometimes it's true. Like sometimes, say you've got a really severe autoimmune disorder and going on AIP, autoimmune protocol diet or the paleo diet solves it for you. You know, I know some people who have like chronic back pain, severe back pain, and they go on the paleo diet and their back pain disappears. So there is a time whenever eliminating certain foods can have really positive effects. But
sure.
I think that the majority of the time, the more foods that you eliminate out of fear that they're going to harm you, then the more you're stressing about food. And I can remember my stomach just being in knots at restaurants because I was so afraid. What if they accidentally put gluten on my food? What if they accidentally touch it with a fork that touched flour or something? And I was so scared of eating at other people's houses or eating out that, number one, it takes all the joy out of eating and the pleasure out of eating because you're just all you want out of a meal is not to get sick, right?
Yeah.
All I want is to just get through this meal and not get sick. But the irony is that the more you stress, the more your stomach can't digest the food properly. If your body thinks that you're in danger or that something's really wrong, then digestion is not a priority. And your body's not going to digest your food right.
Exactly. Yeah. It's going to, if you're figuratively running away from a tiger in your head, your body is going to respond accordingly. And one of the first things that it shuts down is digestion and assimilation because nobody's got time to absorb that, that tomato sandwich you ate or whatever it is. I don't know why I picked tomato sandwich, but I was talking about cookies and talking about my grandma and it made me think of tomato sandwiches. Anyway, but if someone is like, that's not going to be your priority. It's kind of like if you've ever eaten something and then gone for a swim, sometimes it sits there because your body's like, wait, what? We're supposed to be doing muscle stuff and we're supposed to be digesting food. We can do that, but sometimes it slows it down because you're doing another process. And yeah, it's documented for sure that the stress impacts your digestion. It can make you have less stomach acid, and stomach acid status is something that's extremely important for the proper breakdown of amino acids in your food. It's actually necessary. The right pH is necessary to make sure that you actually get iron and B vitamins and amino acids and all of that stuff. It's really important. And when you're stressing out, you could be eating the best, most top of the line food, but if you're really stressed while you're eating it, it's gonna slow down your digestion. Now, how much it will slow it down depends on the level of stress and all of that stuff, but it will slow it down. And so this is interesting. When I, before I figured this out about the stress connection to digestion, it used to be when I would go to, like, say, a New Year's party or something where there's food and then there's people. And I would oftentimes get a really bad stomach ache and feel bloated and I couldn't figure out why. And until I learned about it in my nutrition studies, but I couldn't figure out why. But it was because I was eating and then I was talking, which stressed me out.
Yes.
And I was trying. And honestly, sometimes there are people who were like, so, you know, what are you doing with your life? And I was like, maybe 22 and, you know, running my baking business and studying things on the side. And I felt like I was lesser than or something. So I had to kind of make them feel like I was actually doing something with my life. So that stressed me out, you know? And that kind of impacted my digestion. And I didn't realize that that's what was happening. And it was impacting it so that it literally shut it down. And I felt like I had a rock in my stomach for the rest of the, you know, and oftentimes I'd be like, what did I eat? Like, Exactly. What's the common denominator? And it's like, no, Margaret, like, I wish somebody would have struck me by the shoulders and be like, no, Margaret, it's not that, you know, whatever ranch dip that you ate with the chips. It's your own brain that's messing with you.
I know.
So, honestly, don't our brains mess with us a lot, though? It's very, you know, yeah, it's true.
I did the exact same thing. And it's fascinating that out of all the foods that I've reintroduced, only two times have I gotten very sick. And both of those times, I was crying while I ate.
Oh gosh.
It's so, cause I remember I bought some yogurt cause I've been trying to reintroduce a bunch of different dairy products and I bought yogurt and I thought, oh, I'll try this. And, I had had a really long day and I was really stressed and it just got to me and I just started crying and I was like, whatever, I'm going to eat this yogurt. And I got so sick and I am convinced it was the crying that prevented me from being able to digest it. You know what I mean? Like all the successful reintroduction of food that I've had has been, I sit there and if I start to feel like that flutter of panic of what am I doing? I'm about to eat cheese or I'm about to eat a piece of bread that has gluten in it. What am I doing? I just wait and I take a moment and breathe and I'm like, no, I am going to be fine. This is going to be good. I am not going to be sick. And I wait till I'm calm. And then those times I've never gotten sick.
Yeah. 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 And it makes sense. Just the power of your mind. And, you know, I was just thinking just now that this is for our Christian listeners, in the Bible, there's many, many times where it says, be thankful, like for your food, be thankful, grateful, and you know, eat with a grateful heart type of a thing. I can think of several verses, but I'm always the person that I think of the verses and then I can't think of the actual,
I know,
like where they're located.
Anyway. Yeah.
But there is so much of that, a kind of this idea of receive with thanksgiving. And that it's just very cool because now when you look at it from the angle of when we eat and we are grateful and thankful for the food, it actually is better for your body. It literally, and thus the old joke about Lord bless these Cheetos and Mountain Dew to my body with, I've heard that joke many times, but it's just having the mindset of realizing that when you make nutritious choices, eat what you enjoy to eat. You know, make sure that you're not just eating the salad because you're supposed to eat the salad, you know, make it enjoyable and be grateful for it and thankful for it, because that actually does, when you are eating in that mindset of I'm thankful for this, this is so good, I really enjoy this, whatever you're eating, it actually primes your brain. Thankfulness actually primes your brain for good things, and it also can help you just accept your body, accept the food better. So it's very interesting.
It can. They've actually done studies where people who pray before meals, or I guess if they're not religious, if they just sit and deep breathe and kind of meditate for a moment, not for long, maybe 30 seconds or a minute before you eat, they actually have better digestion.
See that? We need to start I need to start a digestion program that is that. Like the pause, the preview pause where you just, okay, which is so, it's just so cool how that all kind of comes back around to be like, oh yeah, see, this makes sense.
It is.
And God knew that it made sense because that's one of the things that we are to be, which is thankful for stuff like food. So it's kind of cool.
And I think that some people could think, and I thought this before, of, well, why would I even want to reintroduce a fear food if I've got all these other options, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, the reasons that I have reintroduced foods is, number one, because my selection kept getting more and more limited. And I think that whenever you're pursuing health, if you're becoming more and more and more and more limited, and things that used to not make you sick are now making you sick, you might want to just reevaluate what you're doing. Is it working? If it's not working, then don't keep doing it harder. I think that that's like a lot of times in the health community nowadays, everything is seen as your fault and it's the food's fault. Like if you have a, I don't know, acne problem and you've cut out 10 different foods and you still have the problem, instead of reintroducing those foods and eating them, people say, well, you must not have eliminated them completely. You must, they must be in your diet somewhere. You must be messing up. Well, it could be that it's not your your root problem. So why not introduce those back in and have more variety in your diet, have more foods to enjoy? That's how it was for me, is I realized that it was becoming counterintuitive, not counterintuitive, counterproductive. I was stressing so much, and I was not at the height of all of the least foods that I could eat. I was not the most healthy.
Right.
It was the opposite. I was getting worse and worse. So reintroducing those foods, I think, is really important, because you're adding more variety back into your diet, and you're going in the opposite direction from the orthorexic kind of tendencies that we get into with eliminating foods.
Yes.
Sometimes it's very important just for your mental state to be like, no, I'm going to eat this egg if it kills me. And not really, if it, you know, nobody eats stuff that's going to cause you to go in anaphylactic shock. You know, that's not what I'm saying.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Yes, that if it's just a mental block that you can't get over with gluten or dairy or egg or sugar or whatever, for me, it's been very worth it to sit down and be, and I choose a time that's low stress and that I'm home in case it makes me sick. I don't want to be like out at a New Year's Eve party, you know, and try a food and then I'm sick the whole party or whatever. But I think it's very worth it. I mean, what do you think as far as reintroducing those foods? Like, sure, maybe I could live the rest of my life without cheese, but it adds something to my life. Like, it adds flavor and it adds
a
different aspect of nutrition. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yes. It's kind of that cost benefit analysis, you know, because for me, there's certain foods, for example, whole milk. I really don't drink whole milk like at all. I just don't, I don't like the flavor unless I'm pregnant. If I'm pregnant, I will be drinking that stuff. You know, I'm like, towards the end of my pregnancy, I drank almost a gallon, you know, in a half a week. Like, I drank that stuff like water because it tasted good. And I enjoyed it and it was really nourishing. And, you know, but after I had my son, no, like, you could not. I had milk in the fridge, you know, the day after I had him, threw it out. I was like, I can't eat that right now. It just did not taste good. So for me, you know, something like that, I'm like, I don't want that in my life right now. But cheese, yeah, I like having cheese occasionally. Butter, sure, I love butter. You know, it's just funny because you might like something at some time and then you might move on and be like, I don't like, you know, this kind of cheese, or I prefer this. And also knowing what you like. And don't just, for example, I'm going to use cottage cheese as the example. Some people eat cottage cheese plain and they love it. And that's great for them. But I hate it. I think it's disgusting to eat plain. Now, some people eat it like yogurt. That's totally cool. But know what you like. And don't just be sitting there and you're eating your, you know, fat-free yogurt with whatever random berries that they throw in there. You know, don't just eat that because, the lady in the magazine said that this is good for me. Know what you enjoy. Like that, just know what you like to eat. And don't just eat something because, you know, either peer pressure or, well, they all said that I have to like kale or I can't be in on the cool club. Guess what?
Right.
There's a ton of other vegetables that you can eat in the world that are arguably as nutritious as kale. And it's okay. You don't have to make yourself try to like it, you know? So.
Exactly. Yeah. After I reintroduced eggs, there are so many days. Sometimes I really crave them. And sometimes I'm like, get that away from me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I don't even want to smell eggs. And so it's not like, there's no rules that you need to be following with. You have to be eating all the foods you can tolerate, you can't eat any of these foods, even if you can tolerate it. Like, just get rid of all of that and be like, what do I like? Like, I like eggs? Sometimes I really do. And it's great to have that back in my fridge, you know, something that I can enjoy, or cheese or whatever it is, sour cream. But if you don't want it, don't eat. Yeah, totally. It's up to taste.
Exactly. Yeah, and knowing what you, and that's, you know, cause I feel like that the whole diet industry makes people feel like that food has to be flavorless, and if it's healthy, it doesn't taste good, which is absolutely not true. Unless you're trying to use no butter on anything, in which case I say good luck. But it's just, you know, I think that we get stuck in that rut of, well, this is what these people are saying I should eat. Well, guess what? There's probably, if you don't like cauliflower rice, you don't have to eat cauliflower rice. Make your own rice, soak it, you know, it helps get the phytic acid down. Do your, you know, like, it's just, you know, we get so hung up on the food trends and, well, these people are saying that I should like this, or Margaret keeps posting about dandelion root tea, but I really hate dandelion root tea. And then don't drink it. You don't have to drink it.
You're posting it because you like it.
Exactly. Yep. I'm posting because I like it. So it's, yes, exactly. So, Now I will say real quick, I wanted to say something about, cause I used to be, it's been a couple years since I got over it, but I used to be terrified of sugar. Sugar was my thing. Like gluten, not so much. I kind of had made up in my brain that it made me feel bad, but as it turns out, I notice diddly squat when it comes to how I feel after having it, really. And honestly, I don't notice anything. Now, is it doing anything that I don't know about? Maybe so, but that's a subject for another time. But basically, the sugar, I used to be completely just absolutely terrified of sugar. And because I was terrified of it and also enjoyed it, it made it so irresistible, because I had in my brain that I cannot have this. And if I do have it, then I have to do all these shenanigans to burn it off, because it's going to make me fat. And it's also going to give me diabetes. And it's also going to do all these things. But I learned about sugar, and I learned about, you know, the different things and how they all break down to glucose. For example, sweet potato, it eventually gets broken down to glucose. Now, there's a lot of different trace minerals and all kinds of cool stuff that potatoes have, vitamin A, that they have in them that you get as well. It's like you get the side benefit of all of these other cool minerals. Same thing from like maple syrup. Maple syrup has some really cool trace minerals in it. It all actually goes down to glucose. And and anything that is a, in general, this is just very generalized. Don't, you know, if you're a chemist, don't, you know, come and shoot me. But basically, it all boils down to that glucose. If you're eating something that has sugars or simple carbohydrates, it boils down to that. Now, whether you get some benefits on the side with it as well, you know, like I said, or not, if you're just eating sugar, of course, it doesn't have those trace minerals in it. If it's just like straight up white sugar, you don't have those trace minerals, but here's the thing, it does all go down to glucose. So it's just, cause I used to subscribe to, like, you know, sugar is like white cocaine, like it's like cocaine, all this stuff. And I mean, you and I both know with the research that we've done that the moment you start obsessing about something, you want it more. Yes. If it's a neutral, okay, yeah, I like that. Sometimes I do have it. Sometimes I don't. Once you get into that, it actually is shown, and we both read this in the anti-diet book, that it literally, if you're a dieter that is, you know, super duper scared of, for example, sugar, it, you know, when you do eventually eat the sugar, because spoiler alert, you will eventually, when you do, it actually, they don't have the brain response of someone who's dieting is different, and avoiding sugar is different from someone who doesn't have that. It actually does some kooky lighting up those centers in your brain, those pleasure centers. And it doesn't, if it's someone who is just, I had a cookie at grandma's house and it was good, big deal, I'm moving on. It does not have that addictive quality unless you're already, spoiler alert, you're already obsessing about it, which that's what we see. When people become obsessed about it being bad and really demonize it, they just gravitate towards it, because that's just, our bodies are like, oh, you're telling me I can't have this? Well, no, I really want it. So for me personally, once I think I remember it being, what was it that I had? We were somewhere and someone had gummy bears, and they were like, hey, do you want some gummy bears? And I was like, sure, I'll have a couple gummy bears. I ate three gummy bears. I was so terrified at that moment. I was like, I'm going to blow up or spontaneously, but like, I didn't know what would happen. Like, I was just so scared of the sugar. And this was when I was, you know, recovering and everything, but I was so scared of the sugar, but I ate it and nothing happened. Like, I was okay. I didn't instantly get diabetes. I didn't, you know, feel a huge sugar rush. It was three gummy bears, like, really. So, but you know, that simple act of, I'm scared of this, I've told myself forever that this is like bad. And then I had some and I was like, okay, this, I'm not going to, you know, and I didn't feel the need to then go eat the entire bag of gummy bears and, you know, just become sick on them. But it's like, I gradually started to add in intentionally, I'm going to eat some sugar. Yes. And I'm going to eat some sugar. And at this point in my life right now, I can say I'm completely exhibiting addictive behaviors or the behaviors of sugar is just absolutely abjectly horrible. I will never eat it again in my entire life. I don't have either of those behaviors. It's kind of neutral. Some days I eat like those Twix bars I mentioned in the beginning. Those have maple syrup and stuff in them. And, they're good. It's just, I'm at a very neutral place with it so that I might eat it sometimes and I might not others. And it's not something that I spend a lot of mental energy tallying up and freaking out about, but it's been a process. It's taken me a year or two or three, I think maybe 2 years, I would say two or three, right around the time before my daughter was born, I started to really go, okay, I've been really freaking myself out about this and it's taking over my life and I'm reading labels to make sure that my ketchup doesn't have sugar in it and I'm just getting kooky about it. But then of course I'd read labels, to make sure it didn't have sugar in it. And then towards the end of the day, I would eat like 5 cookies and ice cream. And then, it's just, know what I mean? Once you start being restrictive and kooky about it and getting weird about it, then you start to want it more. So I had to work to get myself to be in a neutral place where sometimes I'm like, I would love to have this Twix bar or whatever. And I make it and it's good. And I actually still have like half of it in the fridge because I'm bored of it now. Like it was really good, but I'm making my husband eat them now because I'm like, I'm done. Exactly. I've got that in there. I have ice cream in there that's from Aldi, the dairy-free, because I just thought I'd try it and it's actually really good. I have it in my fridge. And normally like old Margaret would have been, oh my gosh, I have ice cream in my fridge. I gotta eat, if I don't eat it, then it's gonna sit there and then I'm gonna eat it all tomorrow. Like I've gotta eat all the ice cream. It's just weird. I can't explain the difference exactly, but it's just been a big, big change when you go from that.
It has been. And that is perhaps one of the harder ones, because once you've reintroduced eggs and it didn't make you sick, there was never any power that the eggs had over me, but the sugar, mm-hmm. I was exactly the same. And I'd say that I have worked really hard to not care about sugar. And it's been harder for me because I've been tallying up sugar content in my head mm-hmm. since I was probably 6 or 7.
Yeah.
And so I think I texted you that this past Christmas, I went to my family's house and, everybody gave me candy and there was always desserts around and stuff. And I just ate it. That was the first day in my life that I can remember eating sugar and not keeping track of how much I ate. So it's taken me a long
time. Yeah, it can take a long time, but it's worth it to put in the work. And people might be listening to this and be like, you guys are crazy. Like, why would you want to be neutral about it? Well, here's the reason why. Is you have freedom. Yeah. I feel so much freedom around it. I'm not like addicted to it. And I'm not, I'm not going to have any cake at this birthday party. And then after nobody's looking, I have like 3 slices and I feel like I'm going to throw up. I don't have that. It's just another thing. And I don't obsess over it. And if I would like to eat something that's sweet, I do. And I move on with my day and I don't think about it a lot. It's not taking up real estate in my brain, which is my intention of, when I decided, okay, I'm really tired of letting this completely, rule my life. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And it really does work. You're right. I mean, I have cookies in my freezer. I did like a big baking day last week. I have cookies. I have homemade little gummies, like chewy ball things. I have store-bought cookies in my pantry. I mean, I have so much sugar around and I'm good. It's interesting that the only things that I think about a lot are things that are either novel, kind of like the melted chocolate over the cherry.
Yeah.
That's novel. And so I've been eating that like every day. And part of me, the old part of me, whenever I start to eat some type of sugar every day, goes, oh my gosh, you're eating this again. You shouldn't, And then I'm like, nope, shut up. Yeah. You don't get to stay in this. And then I guarantee you, because it's happened with every other new and exciting food I've ever eaten, after like a week or two of letting my body consistently know, yeah, this is available anytime you want it, I'll get so bored of it that I'll forget that it exists.
Yeah.
And there's no power.
There's no power. Don't let it have the power. That's kind of the bottom line is, you know, it's kind of like when you're parenting a little toddler that is throwing a fit. You're like, I'm the boss here.
Right.
You are not the boss. I'm the boss. And I'm not going to, like, in this situation with food, I'm the boss. I'm not going to let the food, control me and make me stress or make me feel guilty or any of that. You can really just, you know, rest and not have that constantly, you know, nagging your mind.
Yeah.
So
maybe try a fear food today. You know, go watch Kayla's video. We'll link to it in the show notes and tell yourself that you'll be fine. And like the more foods that you realize that, you know, you're not going to die or you're not going to gain 15 pounds the minute you eat a piece of cake or whatever, you just realize that it's just food and just be thankful for it and move on with your life, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Kayla's video is great because of course she's someone other than us, because if you're hearing us say this, you might be like, is there any other crazy people out here that are actually saying this as well? And the answer is yes, there are. And we've learned from them and applied it, you know, in our own lives. So we're not just the one crazy people saying this, because it's a thing, you know, it is a thing. So did you have anything else?
No. Let us you try a fear food and it works out good.
Yeah, let us know. We would be interested to hear your stories because, you know, we've both moved through this as well and are working towards, you know, just having that peace around it.
Uh-huh.
So, because it's a process. Don't be discouraged because it can be a process. But
no, yes, that time at the Christmas parties that I didn't count, to this day, I can't not tally up what I've eaten, but the success of that Christmas day, I was like, hey, it's possible.
Yes.
Like I'm going to work toward when I don't keep track of what I eat and it's just intuitive and it takes a long time. It takes a lot of deprogramming. So yeah, do be patient with yourself, but it's a goal worth working toward.
Definitely. Yes, definitely is. All right. Well, thanks for listening y'all. And we will be back next week with a brand new episode. So thanks for listening and we'll talk to you guys next time. Bye.
For more great content, check us out on Instagram. We're at instagram.com/dietdetox. We'll see you next time.